Welcome to the Southside Report. I'm Mario Scalise. That is Jason Gage. And now we are at the point of the season where it might be time for a fire sale, because this month, June 2007, the White Sox have a total of three wins, Jason. Three wins. We are now in June 13th. They have three wins. And that is the collapse of the White Sox, isn't it?
Yeah, I would definitely say it's the collapse of the White Sox. And I first off want to be the first person out here that says, because I know maybe we'll get some emails coming across saying, Jason, you said this team was World Series capable. This is a World Series caliber team. And you know what, people? I was wrong. I was dead wrong, because I am completely ready to give up on the 2007 White Sox, or at least on this version of the 2007 White Sox, because if there's one thing I can pretty much guarantee, it's the fact that this team, as constructed today with this lineup, will not go to the playoffs and will be one of the 10 worst teams in all of baseball.
You know, and
probably
even
a little worse than that.
And even if there's no doubt, as much as you could criticize the team has talent. They have the ability to actually go out there and produce and win some games. And when you look at the beginning of the season, the reason they were winning is you had the rotation and the bullpen was holding up. The offense was what was slowing it down, but the rotation and bullpen were pitching so well that they kept them 500. When that bullpen collapsed, this whole team collapsed. Now this team, actually right now it's a long shot, but if you were to for some stupid reason actually keep this team together and they were to somehow go on a long run, I think even come playoff time, it's not a team built for the playoffs, and it's a team that will get beat up in the playoffs, because this lineup I don't like. And one thing that I realized over these past few weeks, and I think I kind of thought this early in the season, but I really didn't say it, and I didn't really like believe it, is that this is a very, very boring team to watch. It's a very boring offense to watch. You enjoy watching most of the starters. Guys like Burley will always be fun to watch. Garland, John Danks, a young lefty. But for the most part, this team is a boring, boring team. They're slow. They're just, they seem old. They seem just, and I think that alone, I want these trades to happen for that reason, to try to bring some young guys in who maybe I want to watch.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat you are. I'm a person who probably over the last 8 years watches 80% of the Sox games, I would say. Whenever MLB Extra Innings came out, I probably watched 70 to 80% of the Sox games. Now, that may be me watching 6 innings of a game, but right now, I'm not watching as many of these games. I'm turning them on, and I'm watching the team pitch, and I immediately change the channel. Mm-hmm. After I see the pitch, once I see the starter get out, I just kind of change the channel, because it is just absolutely god-awful to watch. Because the offense is really doing nothing. They're fundamentally poor, and they're not exciting. Because even if they get on base, you know it's going to take pretty much a station-to-station approach to get the guy home. This really is just a bad, bad offense.
Today was a perfect example. They had a day game against the Phillies, which they lost again. It was a 3-3 game, seventh inning, and I turned away from the TV. I really just turned away from the TV. I look at it an inning later, one inning from the seventh inning to the eighth inning, and they're down 8-3. Five runs in the matter of one inning, just like that. And you know what? I didn't look at it and say, wow. It was just like, oh, okay. That happened again. And it's to that point where if they're playing six games in a week, seriously, I might watch two of those games. At this point, I might want to watch two, three of those games. It's pathetic. It really, really is pathetic. And one thing that I'm going to say, I think Kenny Williams, if you're going to look at the blame, obviously you put all the blame on the players, but if you're going to look at some blame from either a manager or GM standpoint, I think you have to put some on Kenny Williams just from the bullpen standpoint, because he thought that bullpen was going to produce when there was some definite question marks. But one thing that I would have liked to see Kenny Williams do this past month, and I think it's too late for it now, is he should just, looking at the way this team was playing, go out, whether it's to the media or whether it's to them face-to-face in the dugout, and say, listen, I'm giving you guys 1 week to shape up. If you guys don't show any signs of playing as a team and producing and showing any excitement and desire to win it all, I'm dumping this team, and I'm going to make some trades. And I wish he would have done that, because it seems like, you know, yeah, you have Guillen talking to the media, but there hasn't been any shakeup. Any shakeup from management to say, listen, you guys are sucking right now. Get your asses together, or else we're simply going to dump you guys who don't want to be here.
Yeah, and the problem is that time's kind of passed.
Yes, it has.
Because Ken Williams, and I know we've said it before, the last show we did, and I know it was a while ago, people, and I apologize for that, but the last show we did, I remember specifically saying, they had to, and I mean had to, make some sort of move to get some type of outfield presence on the south side of Chicago. And the type of move I kept saying was to get a young athlete in here that could maybe make something happen. And they haven't made that time. And if I was going to point the finger at anyone, most of the point blame would be placed on the players. But I also have to put a lot of the blame on the GM, who I think is one of the better ones in all baseball, and that's Ken Williams, because I really think he's failed. And I commented, and I kind of gave some approval of what he did with the bullpen, getting a lot of power arms, because I think relievers are a bit of a crapshoot. If you're going to go look at reliever, most relievers you look over their years, they have some really good seasons, they got some mediocre seasons, they got some really bad seasons. There's really a lot of variety.
Yeah, it's a crapshoot. It's a crapshoot in the bullpen.
Exactly, and I think he went with the fact that he's going to get a lot of arms that have a lot of talent that are cheap, and some of those arms are going to pan out, and we're going to have a pretty nice bullpen. But that didn't happen, and he took that chance, and he's obviously going to have to take the blame for that. And that's not to say some of the guys he's acquired aren't going to be good in the future.
But here's the thing, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but when you look at that 2005 bullpen, granted guys like Polite and guys like Hermanson and even guys like Vizcano, they weren't great, but they had some experience and they had some success. Even if they were ERAs win the 4 or 4 or 5, they had some success. This bullpen, there was only a couple of guys. I mean, you really, when you look at maybe McDougal, maybe Jenks, even Thornton, he had that year last year. But all these other guys like Cisco, these are guys who haven't proven anything. So I think if you go out there and you build a team with guys who have careers in the fours, I think that's not a bad decision, because they could simply step up that year. But when you're building on power arms who are unproven, I think that's a very, very big risk that Kenny Williams took. And it bit him in the ass, rightfully so.
Yeah, no doubt. But I also think he has got some other blame, because he has some serious blame for why this outfield situation and why this team has so many guys that really aren't major league caliber players that are starting or getting, you know, significant minutes or even being on the bench. Andy Gonzalez, let's be honest, not a major league ball player, at least not at this point. And if he is a major league ball player, he's a 24th, 25th guy, and that's maybe in a couple more years. Mm-hmm. That's, again, a big if. Luis Torero, he's actually looking like a decent fourth or fifth outfielder type of guy long term.
Yes.
But he's the everyday center fielder.
There's a lot of good bench players. A lot of good bench players. And this falls completely on the organization failing to develop, because there's not many guys at the AAA level or even a AA level that they can bring up and put in a starting position. They're all just look like they're bench players. And this all goes back to when you look at these position players, of the nine position players that they have, or you know, you include the DH, these guys are either old or getting old in the case of guys like Dye, Tomey, Canerico, Brzezinski, Oguchi, or you have a guy like Creedy who has a back problem, and Erstad and Pitsenik who are injury prone. So he built this team with just guys who were either old, slow, or injured. And you can't expect much to happen. So when you build a team like that, injuries are going to happen, guys are going to have to sit, and you're going to be forced to play guys like Andy Gonzalez and even Rob Mikoviak and Alex Cintron more than you would have liked. And I think that's really where it goes to. And I think you could even compare the Sox, similar to the Cubs and a lot of other teams in baseball, that they don't try to build a team. They're just trying to grab whatever they can for every single position, build a team. Because when you look at this White Sox offensively, they're not a team. You just have a bunch of guys playing different positions. They have to build a team. They have to get some youth in that team, some good youth, because some of the young guys the Sox have, they're just simply not major league starting caliber players. Get some players who are in their prime and not reaching the 33, 34, 35 age range.
Yeah, I think the key is that when you look at any good ball club, you're going to have that mix. You're going to have young players,
yes,
some exciting young players. You're going to have some of those young players bust. You're going to have some guys in their prime, and you're going to have some guys past their prime that are kind of the veteran, stable, leadership type guys. And then you're going to have the role players, and that's going to be a good team. This Chicago White Sox team really doesn't have that.
No.
They have two guys in their prime. Paul Konerko is the one guy in his prime. Mm-hmm. But Jim Thome, even though he's past his prime, is really producing. And obviously Mark Burley and John Garland are in their primes. Maybe you can make a case for Javier Vasquez. Then you got some young, exciting guys like Bobby Jenks.
Yeah.
And just Bobby Jenks.
Yeah.
And I guess Jenks, John Danks would be considered a, you know, young and excited guy.
There's not many. The rotation deserves no blame, top to bottom, going from Danks, Contreras, Vasquez. It doesn't deserve any blame, so you can't even look at the rotation. That bullpen has plenty of question marks. Offensively, they're an old team. Obviously, we're at this point where trades are going to have to be made. So, two, three, four guys are going to have to go, maybe even more, whatever. What we go up from the position player standpoint, because obviously the key guy is probably Burley. We're going to get into him, but let's go from a position player standpoint. When you look at the nine starters right now, I'm not even sure if the Sox have nine starters, but if, when you look at this team, start from the catching position. A.J. Brzezinski, is he a guy that you keep? Do you consider the fact that the Sox really don't have a catcher in the minor league system, so do you keep him? Do you trade him? What do you see A.J. Brzezinski with the future of the Sox?
I think the key with A.J. is he's the type of guy you trade, but only if you get a catching prospect back in some other deal you make. So I think he's one of those guys that doesn't get moved till right around the deadline. Because I think what the Sox really, in reality, should do is make a wave of trades. Make a first set of trades, maybe one or two, that you take your chance and you see what happens to this club the next couple of weeks after that trade to see if these new guys that come in could infuse it with some youth and some talent. Because this starting rotation is capable of carrying and being good enough to, you know, be a playoff team.
Yes.
So if you make some, you know, some moves and some things happen, some positives happen, then maybe you hold off and a guy like AJ sticks around because he's signed to an affordable deal and he does bring some leadership and fire to this team.
Yeah.
However, he's also pretty pathetic when it comes to throwing out runners. He's not very good defensively, even though he calls a pretty decent game. So I think there's some definite ifs in that too.
If you have,
and I'd like to see the team defense improve, because right now it's not a very good defensive team the Sox have.
It's an acceptable defensive team. Obviously, without Creedy at third base, that's a big hole. But it's an acceptable defensive team because the left side of the infield, obviously, I haven't been watching many games, so maybe there's been a big drop-off. But from what I'm seeing, the left side of the infield is still solid. Paul Konerko is solid. The outfield obviously needs some work, especially with a guy like Erstad now out of the lineup. Defensively, they're going to have some question marks. So, and as far as Brzezinski goes, personally, if there's another catcher out there that you could replace him with, I would do it in a heartbeat. He's kind of worn me over these past, I would say, year. Just the way he plays, I'm just not too thrilled with him. So if there's a way you could trade him, I think it's optional. I think with a guy like him, though, if you're going to maybe break down the White Sox, you know, dismantling the team into two waves, maybe trades now and trades in July, Brzezinski is a guy you wait till July. If you could maybe pull off a trade, bring in some young guys, see what happens. And like you said, if you bring in some youth and they kind of infuse some teams in some energy and life into this team, you could keep a guy like Brzezinski and bring him back next year. Otherwise, you could maybe trade him off come July too. Otherwise, looking also in this position players, the two main guys, Jermaine Dye in right field, Tadayu Taguchi at second. These are both guys who are free agents after this year. The only two guys really among the starters who are gone after this year or are pretty much going to be gone this year. Can they get anything for a guy like Jermaine Dye at this point? Or how much, I should say?
I think the key is how much, because there's no doubt the teams are going to trade for Jermaine Dye. I could pretty much bet you that the Anaheim Angels or Los Angeles Angels would be interested, the LA Dodgers would be interested, the San Diego Padres would be interested, and you can definitely think the New York Yankees potentially would be interested. However, Bobby Abreu's kind of woken up, and I don't think the Yankees are going to want to deal a guy like Melky Cabrera plus some. But if the Sox are going to move Dye, I think he's the first piece that should go. And this is not because – this is not a disrespect to Jermaine Dye, but I do think Jermaine Dye is slowing down. Mm-hmm. He's past his prime, and he's not the type of guy I'd want to give another three-year contract to.
No.
And I'm a big Jermaine Dye fan. And I'm a big fan – I'm a bigger fan of Jermaine Dye, the person and the character, the type of individual he is. But he's the first guy that should go because he can bring you in the type of young talent that you may want.
Two years, I could tolerate. 2 years I could tolerate with Jermaine Dye, but no, 3 years I think is even risky. And even 2 years, I think the salary has to – you really have to look at that. I think, yeah, Jermaine Dye could probably get you a semi-young player, maybe even an outfielder, because that's what the Sox are going to be looking for, is they're going to be looking for some outfielders in any moves that they make, I think, first and foremost.
I think the key – the big deal that I'd be a fan of is any deal with the Dodgers, because the Dodgers have pitching. The Dodgers have young pitching that they could acquire, and the Dodgers also have a lot of position players. They may have a young outfielder like Andre Ethier, who I don't think they would deal for a guy like Jermaine Dye, but they may consider it. And they also have a guy named Chad Billingsley. He's in the bullpen right now. He's pitching fantastic. This guy was one of the top prospects in all baseball a year ago. He's got a great arm. He succeeded pretty well in about 90 innings last year out of the rotation. And he's the type of guy, he's the type of arm that you really want. He's projectable. He's got good stuff, and he would look very good in the rotation, whether he's replacing a guy like Mark Burley or maybe Jose Contreras, just to foreshadow a little bit more of our future discussions we're going to have on this show that you're listening to right now. And there's also another guy in the Dodgers system that should be interesting. And this, I'm going to give Caleb some credit for this, the poster on Sox Talk. But I think the more realistic deal would be a Chad Billingsley and Wilson Bedemit trade, because Wilson Bedemit can play third base, he can play shortstop, and he can play second base. But more importantly, he has some pop. He can hit for an average, decent on-base percentage, and he's only, depending on the reports you read, 26 or 27 years old, as there's some discrepancy in his age. And he's the type of bat that would look real good in the two spot of this lineup for a long time. And more importantly, he's the type of bat that could really come in and replace Tadahito Gucci at second base and help get this team a lot younger.
There's two types of offensive players that I would look for. And in one of this case, I really don't like going into stats, especially on base percentage. But I'd like to see some young guy who could come in and show some patience. Show some, I'm not even sure, patience. Simple, patience. Have the ability to go up there, take four or five pitches in at bat. Another one is have the ability to go out there and make contact, because these guys right now that they have, they're swinging and they're missing a lot. And it's two, three pitch at bats. So if they are making contact, it's usually a nice easy pop or a soft ground ball. And if an at bat is extending, they're striking out in the end. So I'd like to get one of the two. Get a guy who could be patient, or get a guy who could put the ball in play. Even if they're swinging and everything, get some guys who could do something different than the guys that they have on this team right now. Let's go to Tadahito Taguchi, second baseman. It's kind of questionable as to how much he could get, because his numbers aren't lights out, and he's obviously getting older right now. Is there any type of value for him, though? Is he a guy that they even consider even keeping, considering, once again, do the Sox even have a second baseman in their system that they could bring up at this point?
The Sox definitely don't have a second baseman that's going to be ready to start next season. Christopher Getz is the best they got right now. He's in Double A. He's performing pretty well. And I think there's some question whether he's ever going to be an everyday second baseman, or if he'll be more of a utility type guy. But the reality is, there's no way this team should be counting on a guy like Getz next season, or as early as next season. So I think the Sox should look at Tadahito Gucci and look at it this way. Tadahito Gucci is the worst defensive second baseman in baseball. I don't know how many games you've watched recently, but his range is absolutely zero. And he's blowing a lot of routine plays as well. Offensively, he's made improvements, and he is a veteran. So depending on which team is out there, and not many teams need second baseman, but depending on the team, I think you have a shot at maybe getting a bullpen-type arm or a lower-level prospect with a little bit of potential. Because lower-level guys are the type of guys that you could get and wait a year or two and groom them in. So it's a type of guy that has some high potential, but maybe he's not a high prospect or highly touted prospect.
Yeah.
So that type of player. And open up a spot, because I think the key is, when you trade a couple of your big pieces, you should get outfield prospects and lots of them, middle infield prospects and lots of them, because shortstop and second base both need to be filled.
Yes.
And a worst-case scenario would be you get a shortstop, and then in the offseason you look to a guy like Luis Castillo or someone else. Because second basemen are the type of positions the Sox can go out after in free agency, because typically they don't get big contracts.
Even
some of the best ones don't, aside from Chase Utley.
What about two other big guys in Canerico and Tomei?
I don't think there's any chance that Paul Canerico would be traded, nor would I trade Paul Canerico.
No,
he's still a very valuable player. He's a leader in the clubhouse. And there, to a point, you got to be careful what you put in the fans' perspective, because this is not a white flag trade, people. This is more the Sox realizing this team right now is not constructed to win. So they're going to have to make adjustments. So it either makes some type of spark this year,
yes,
or at least is ready to go for it again next year.
Here's the thing. If the season, let's say at this point, all the games were wiped out, and starting June 15th, the season was going to start over 0-0, would you take this team as is into the season? And I think the question is no. Even if they have a clean slate and a 0-0 record, you have to say it's no, because this team is not built. So that's where the trades come in. It's not a trade is where, you know what, we're out of it and these guys are getting old and we can't sign. I don't think the trades be done in that sense. I think the trades be done is because you need to rebuild this team from just making it into a team. Like I've been saying, make it into a team. So I think that's why the trades maybe actually happen. Not necessarily as a white flag move. But as far as Canerico goes, I agree with you. I would definitely keep him here. I'm not his biggest fan or anything like that, but I would definitely keep him here, although he's going to get slower. He signed that 5-year contract. Let him stay here, build off somebody else. Jim Tomei, though, and I know he doesn't have much trade value because he can't really play anywhere but DH, he's one guy I wouldn't mind seeing being dealt either, because I know he's produced. And as much as I don't like him as a player, I will give him props is that he's been the only person producing offensively, and he's even been produced consistently every single game. So I will give him that. But he was hurt this year. Chances are he's going to be on the DL again next year. I think he might be one guy. If you could try to get something for him, I wouldn't mind trading him either.
The problem with Jim Thome is he asked to come here in a trade. He's got a pretty much a full no trade clause, and I don't think he would accept a trade. Maybe if the Indians, maybe, but I don't think he'll accept the deal, and I think that's the situation. If he was came to you and you said, hey, Jim, we're considering making a trade. We'd like to see if you'd be interested. We'd like to send you to a contender, but you have full veto, and he says, hey, send me, you know, I'd accept a deal here. Then, yeah, I think there's absolutely no reason you don't trade Jim Thome. He's old. He's still productive, and he'll only be productive for another year or two, but he could get you an absolute boatload. And there's one team in specific that I know would drool over. There's one team that would give up the frickin' farm for him, and they got a fantastic farm system. That's the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the bat that guarantees the Angels a spot in the World Series.
I would have liked to see a deal with them happen this past offseason, personally. But it almost seemed like the Angels are kind of hesitant to trade some of their young guys. It seems like they're pretty hung up on a lot of their young guys, though, it seems. Because they've been involved in a lot of trade rumors, and nothing's gone down. So unless that stuff is all bullcrap or actually negotiations did take place and the Angels are just hesitant to trade some of their young guys. But if they are willing to make a trade for Jim Thome and the Sox can land themselves a young player or two, I think that's something they definitely have to do. Not because anything against Jim Thome, what he's doing this year, but there's not much of a future with him on this team. And really, if you're going to take the team as is and the position players as is, do you really want it, the two guys to keep? Do you really want it to be the first baseman DH combination? I think that's probably one thing that you'd like to break up. Have the first baseman and then just kind of build a team elsewhere. Because one thing I like is having that DH kind of be flexible, having a bunch of guys that you can kind of throw in that position little by little all over and move guys around. You were mentioning before we even got in the show about Juan Uribe even possibly being trade bait, which I think is possible. You might have a team, maybe if they're a little bit short on the shortstop side, you bring him in and you know off defensively he's going to be lights out for you and he's going to be perfect and pinpoint over there. Is that where his value comes in then, purely on a defensive standpoint? As a starter?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It would be his defense to help a team that has a lot of offense but it's really lacking at the shortstop position defensively and needs an upgrade there. So I don't know. I haven't evaluated as much in terms of Uribe's case because I've always kind of thought the Sox would hold on to him as an insurance policy, mm-hmm. especially with Tadahito Iguchi leaving. But at this point, I think they have to consider it. And I just want to kind of go back to Jim Thome. I think the ideal scenario would be Jim Thome accepting a deal and the Angels getting involved because the Angels have the middle infield prospects that you would want. They have Brandon Wood, probably the best shortstop prospect in all of baseball. And that is the one guy that I think they would consider giving up for a bat like Thome, who's going to help them for at least two more years. At least two more.
I don't know about at least. I would say this year, maybe a little bit next year. The good thing is that the Angels seem like they have a bunch of young guys where even if he were on that team next year, he wouldn't be playing every single day. So maybe the toll wouldn't be as bad for him.
Plus, you got to look that Jim Thome is still very productive. I mean, he's still one of the most productive offensive players in baseball.
Oh, you know, he is. He is a productive player. I just question how healthy he's going to be from here on out. He was injured this year. I could see him getting hurt again next year, maybe even longer. So I think that's why. I think from a productivity standpoint, it might just be a stance of him actually getting on the field.
But back to Uribe. The key to if you're going to consider trading Uribe is that you must make sure that in any of the deals you've already made, you've gotten a few guys that you think are ready to come up and play second and shortstop. Now, because you don't trade him unless you have that, because there's no reason to. You could always hold on to him. You can always hold on to one because he's not like overpaid or anything like that, and he's valuable. He can help out young pitchers if we have a couple young guys in the rotation. You want to make sure that you have guys that are going to catch the ball because nothing could be worse on a young pitcher's development than having to always overcome errors and everything else because they may start to overthrow and just develop bad habits.
Yes. And one thing, as far as you know, the trades as a whole, if the Sox make 5-6 trades, whatever the case may be, and if they get, let's say, a boatload of young players, maybe 10, 12, whatever, I'd like to see a situation where they put half of them within this team, and they actually have plans for half of them. They use the other half for some trade bait in this offseason. Because you know Kenny Williams, and he shouldn't just look to rebuild this team. He's got to mix it up still. So if there's a free agent on the market this offseason, he should look into them. If there's a trade he can make for a player in his prime, he should look into them. And make sure that the guys a few of the guys that he's bringing in through these trades for Dye or Burley or whoever, our guys, if they feel we're going to put him at a position, whether shortstop, second base, left field, wherever, and we hope for him to be a mainstay on this team for many, many years. Now,
Definitely. And I also want to point out, I'm not calling this just a pure fire sale, because I think there's certain guys that Jermaine Dye, Jim Thome, if possible, but I think there's a 1% chance of that happening. Tadahito Iguchi, these are guys that I think you sell now. You sell now. Maybe Thome you hold off on. And again, that's like a 1% possibility. But those are two guys you sell now. This is out of position players. And just because you sell those guys and get young players doesn't mean you don't buy as well. Because the Sox also need to look at the fact that they're going to need young outfielders. And there could be young position players that they're interested in. And they have prospects. The Sox do have prospects. They can go out and get other guys.
Yes. As soon as they trade Jermaine Dye, and I'm assuming that's going to be the case, as soon as they trade Jermaine Dye, they're going to have, for next year, all three outfield spots available. All of them. Because even if Verstead comes back, you're not going to put him in a starting position. So you're going to have all three outfield spots available. So you could go out there, bring in a prospect for one spot, trade for another guy, and then sign another guy. I mean, you could literally fill that outfield next year three different ways. You know, through the minors, through a minor league player, a trade, or a sign. So I think they're going to have plenty of options, or at least plenty of spots to fill. Let's get into the rotation, Mark Burley being the key guy. And I would even say this. I'd like to see him stay. I'd like to see him stay just because of how he's pitched this year, rebounding from last season. And I think he's one of the few guys in baseball who I wouldn't hesitate giving a five-year deal to. Most guys, I do. Most guys, if you tell me 5-6 year deal, I would say no. In Mark Burley's case, I have no problem giving a 5-year deal to. Now, the money is where it's going to come into question. How much? 5-year deal, because I'm thinking you're not going to go 7-year deal. 5-year deal, how much is Burley worth?
How much is he worth?
Over a 5-year deal.
Well, that would be, let's see, 5-year, $15 million would be $75 million.
And I think that's pretty fair. You're dealing with a lefty who's a pitcher. Chances are when he gets older, as long as he doesn't have some big injury, and I think he might be past that time, he's going to be productive for you for many, many, many years. So maybe never win 22, 23 games, but he might be a 16-game winner. If you could guarantee yourself 15, 16 wins for 5 years, I think it's definitely worth the money, especially with the amount of innings he's worked up. But it may not happen because the Sox have a history of not wanting to give those 5-year deals. They like giving the 3-year deals, the 2-year deals. If that's the case, if it looks right now, if you're Kenny Williams, and it seems that Reinsdorf's not going to be willing to go to 5 years, Mark Burley's not willing to drop down to 3 years, you trade him. I think if you're going to get a lot of shit for one player on this White Sox team, it's going to be Mark Burley.
Yeah, I would think Mark Burley, Jim Thome. Jim Thome, because I think the Angels would be absolutely desperate. Mark Burley, Jim Thome, and Jermaine Dye in that order. And I think you're dead on. The first absolute number one priority of the White Sox has to be re-sign Mark Burley. But if whatever it is they talked and the numbers just don't work, then they have to trade him, and trade him now. Mm-hmm. And consider doing it. The question is going to be what teams are going to want to get in there. The New York Yankees obviously need starting rotation, and they're coming back. And that could be, at one point it was bad to see the Yankees win because they look like they'd be the main competitors to the White Sox for the wild card.
Yeah.
That's not the case. But the Yankees are on fire now, and that's a good thing because they're doing it with their best. Their rotation's still been bad, real bad, even with Roger Clemens there. It's a bad rotation.
This is something that do you think a possible – now, these wouldn't be the only two guys involved in the trade. There would be other guys involved. But would you be for a Mark Burley, Melky Cabrera trade in which obviously other guys are involved? Because I look at Melky Cabrera, and I actually like him as a player. And I think he's one guy you could put him on this outfield next year. You put him in any single spot, and you build around him in that outfield.
There is absolutely no doubt that I would like a move that was able to get you a guy like Cabrera. He's a good young player. He plays very well defensively. He's got some good tools.
Switch hitter. That's what I like the most. He's a switch hitter. and obviously just batting lefty, which the Sox don't have a history of having, that would be nice to have.
However, you also got to point out the fact that this guy's never really been a fantastic hitter. He had a good season last year.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
His first full season was pretty impressive. 280, 360 on base percentage, 26 doubles, 750 on base OPS. And he plays a pretty good center field, and he's got a very strong arm. He definitely could go play left field and be a plus left fielder. But he can't be the main guy.
Oh, no, no, no.
There's
got to
be more in this
deal.
But I
agree. But what I'm saying is if you put him in the outfield, you don't have to worry about saying, okay, now we got him. Now we need a center fielder. Well, you know what? If you find a left fielder that's really good, you could just throw Cabrera to center. And as far as the trade goes, yes, he would not be the only piece. The Sox would have to get something else in return. But I'm saying as far as getting a guy who you could put on your team next year, I think he would be the starting point.
Yeah, and maybe if the Yankees bite on giving you Cano and Cabrera, you start to consider, because those are two guys you could pencil into that lineup.
Oh, yeah.
And Cano's a little bit overrated because he really doesn't take many walks, and he's not very fast. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to see the Sox somehow get some quick guys to kind of help Ozzie Guillen. But he's still a very young player. You're talking about a 22-year-old or so in Cabrera, 24-year-old in Cano. And these are guys that are going to be cheap for the Sox for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And that's really the key.
Cano has some power for a second baseman. I mean, he had 34 doubles his rookie season, 41 last year. He's got 19 so far this year, 14 home runs his rookie season, 15 last year. So, I mean, this is a pretty good player. And he posts a very good on-base OPS for a second baseman. So that would fill two positions in one move. But I think you also have to get something else. And I don't know if the Yankees would give up those two guys plus something else for Mark Burley. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you could put Tadahito Iguchi involved in this package, because if Cano goes, they probably want a second baseman that can help him at least. But that would be something I'd definitely consider. Cano, Cabrera, and give me a projectable arm. If you can get the Yankees to bite on that, I'd consider, because you got two starters for a long time, because I think you can pencil Cabrera and Cano in for a long time. At two need positions in this organization, they're going to be cheap for a long time. Mm-hmm. Definitely something to consider. Definitely. But the Cardinals are another team. They got no prospects, though.
Well, no, I don't think the Cardinals are even an option at this point. But I think every single other team in contention, I think, is a possibility in some way or form. Every single team, American League and National League, though I'm not sure necessarily the Sox are going to be willing to trade in the division or anything like that.
Yeah. And you do know they have a very good rapport, Ken Williams does, with Brian Cashman. So they're good buddies. So there's definitely history there for a deal to be made. And Burley, that would make a lot of sense. That would be a significant upgrade. And I don't know if Burley liked to pitch there, but it's just definitely a significant upgrade.
And the nice thing is because you have, obviously, Danks, you have to figure he's in your plans, and you're going to have Garland for a few years, and you're going to have Vasquez for a few years. You already have three starters, so you don't necessarily have to get a starting pitcher back for Burley. If you get a starting pitcher in the Dye trade, or even if you end up trading Contreras, which I think is also another trade possibility, or Tomei, I think there's enough pieces where you could trade Burley, not get any pitching, you know, pitchers in return, and then trade someone else. I think that's one good situation that the Sox are in, is that they have so many guys at so many positions that they could deal, that they don't necessarily, if one team needs a right fielder and they don't have any pitchers to give, that's not a big deal. And if one team needs a pitcher and they don't have any position players to give, that's not that big of a deal, because they have so many pieces out there. So I think it really, really opens up the trade possibilities across the board. Now, as far as Jose Contreras goes, I think he's one guy who definitely has to be a trade possibility. He's pitching okay right now. I think most teams would be willing to bring him in as maybe a third or fourth starter, depending what team he's on. He could probably get you something. I'm not necessarily sure how much he could get you, because I don't necessarily know how highly teams look at him from the outside. But I think he could definitely net some type of talent in return, of course.
Yeah, I think the key with Contreras is if you can convince him, because again, like Tomei, he's got a full no-trade clause right now.
Yes.
And so Contreras probably be dealt this offseason. At that point, it may be too late. Maybe you're not going to get much for him, or you're going to have to give a lot of cash for him. Mm-hmm. But right now, I still think he has value. He's not going to get you that much, but you should move him for the sole sake that clears up a lot of money. That's money that can go to Mark Burley's raise. That's money that's going to go to free agent acquisitions, because I think this team, after making all these trades, is going to have a few months to evaluate things, and then they're going to have the resources to not only trade for guys that make money, but sign guys that make money. I know that's not typically the Sox MO to go out there in the free agent market, but it's going to be time to do it. it's going to be time because they have three outfield spots. If you get a Melky Cabrera, you get another young bat, then you can maybe go for an Ichiro Suzuki to sustain that.
Yeah.
Because when you're going to lose a lot of payroll this year.
Yeah, probably what – I mean, you would think if you look at Dai, who's making what? Probably, I think, eight, I believe. You look at Burley, who's making close to the same. I mean, you might be able to dump about $15, $20 million on some trades over the next few weeks.
If you consider the fact that if they dealt Contreras and Burley, which I'm not a big proponent of, I prefer to keep Burley and deal Contreras. But if you deal both of them, that right there is over $20 million.
And then if you include Dai and Tomy into that, you're talking
up into that.
Yeah, you're talking $40 million.
Close to $40 million. You throw a Gucci in, you're at $40 million.
And once again, if you get the prospects in return and you have that extra money where you could even sign an Ichiro, who I would personally like because he's a fun player to watch, although, of course, the salary might be – because while he's a great player, he might demand a little bit more than he's worth. But if you could get a guy like an Ichiro, I think the Sox could definitely put themselves in a very, very good position. But I think really one thing overlaying this whole thing is how confident are you in the Sox from a scouting standpoint of minor league players? You know, when Kenny Williams makes a trade – for a bench player on another team or for a reliever on another team, I'm usually pretty confident that he's going to bring someone in and it's going to work out. But if the Sox make a trade for some minor league AAA player or some AA player, how confident are you that they're making the right call from a scouting standpoint?
I'm pretty confident. I'm not saying Kenny's going to be the best in his sell moves. I don't think he's ever going to get as much value as maybe some guys do because I think he's going to be the guy that's going to be like, hey, I got to get this deal done. I want to get this done. And you got to remember, in Burley and Dai's case, you're going to get two draft picks. You're going to get two first-round picks. No doubt about that. You will get those picks. So you got to make sure you're going to get upper echelon guys.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to you got to be careful with that. But I do like the fact that I think Ken Williams is pretty good at scouting guys and seeing guys that he likes. He's usually better at buying those guys on the low end.
Yes.
So this is going to be a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he should be good enough to get – because I think their key should be looking at very, very, very highly touted prospects – or guys that are young and already playing in the major leagues, like the Robinson Cano, and
or a trade they made this past offseason, a guy like John Danks.
Exactly, those type of moves, and I do have faith in that. The place I have the least faith in is the fact that the Sox just don't have a track record of developing their prospects.
Mm-hmm. So in that case, you want to get a AAA player. You want to get a guy who next year is going to be available to pitch, much like a John Danks, who actually I think people said, oh, well, at the very least, he's going to be pitching in 2008. He's pitching in 2007. It's the same type of concept. You're going to get a AAA player who could be productive next year.
Yeah, and I think a lot of these, you should be looking at guys that are pretty much knocking on the door ready to come up now. You're not talking about acquiring, maybe if you trade for Tadahito Gucci, you're talking about lower-level guys. They're going to take a few years.
And you know what?
You're trading Jermaine Dye, Burley.
In those cases, if you trade a Tadahito Gucci, let's say you get a single-A prospect, okay? I think that's a guy you could potentially end up trading this offseason or maybe sometime next year for someone. Because if the concern is in the development process of a guy, then you say, you know what, if we bring in a single-A player, chances are we're not going to be able to develop him. So if he still has any value, you're better off trading him. So make sure any minor leaguers you make sure the AAA players are guys you have plans on playing at the major league level soon. Double A, single A guys, you're looking to trade them.
And then at that point, I just want to hypothetically throw out because I'm really becoming a fan of this Yankees deal. If you got Cano, you got Cabrera, and you got a guy like Ian Kennedy, last year's first round pick out of USC.
And you're including Aguchi in the deal.
Yeah, Aguchi and Dai. I'm talking about two guys that are going to start for this major
Aguchi
team for the
and
next
Burley,
5 years. Yeah, Aguchi and Burley.
Yeah.
And Kennedy, who's a huge fan of this guy at SC. He put up numbers similar to Pryor. He slipped in the draft because there were some questions about a signing bonus, and the Yankees gave him a lot of money. And this would be a lot of value because Kennedy has lit up the minor so far. He's got like a 2.3 ERA in 107 innings since being drafted with 11. He's averaging over 11 strikeouts per 9 innings. So this is a high power arm. But this isn't Phillip Hughes because Phillip Hughes is untouchable in that Yankee system, so I'm not even going to ask about him. But if you got those three guys, because you're talking about a guy like Kennedy's a front of the rotation type prospect, plus two starters, that's the type of deal I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's the type of deal that helps you. And then you say Lance Broadway, a guy like Lance Broadway, Kyle McCulloch, maybe an Adam Russell or Jack Egbert, prospects on the Sox system,
that's
you look
expendable.
Again to a team like maybe the Pirates are giving up a guy. you look to teams like that and say, hey, can we get you? Or maybe you get involved in a three-way type of deal where a team like the Yankees or Cardinals is making a trade for something and you want to get some type of young player from them that interests you. You get involved and you give up the prospects where the Yankees or the team in competition gets the major league type player.
There's a lot of versatility in these moves. A lot of versatility, a lot of things could happen. I think that's a very, very nice thing. And it's going to be exciting. I mean, it really is going to be exciting because you know the trades have to happen. If Kenny Williams literally just sits down and waits and waits and waits, it's going to come July. He's going to try to trade some guys off. He might not get nothing in return or very little in return. And some guys he may not be able to trade, and they're just going to walk after this year. And I hope that doesn't happen. Make these trades now. Get some young guys in. Make this team fun to watch. Look for next year. Now, offensive is a hole. Bullpen's been a hole. When you look at this team next year, obviously Bobby Jenks, he's been extremely impressive this year. Obviously, you know, 2005 he was great. Last year kind of took a step back, but then he came back this year full strength. He's learning how to pitch a little bit more. He's a mainstay. I think you might even be able to say Matt Thornton, potentially. You could still maybe give time with Tam Boone. Logan has obviously been somewhat effective. When you look at this bullpen next year, do you kind of just go after some failed starters out there who maybe weren't productive and you throw them in the bullpen? Do you try to find some old aging veterans? How exactly do you go about this bullpen? I'm thinking you just mix it up. You get some power pitchers and get some veterans in there.
Yeah, I think some of the guys are in-house. I don't think Thornton goes anywhere. I don't think Jenks goes anywhere. I don't think Logan goes anywhere. And I think McDougal will probably be here to stay unless you trade him, because I do think he has some trade value, or you bring him up sometime, because he's down there working on confidence. Mm-hmm. I have that. That's fact. That's what I've been told. He's down there simply to get his head on straight before he comes back up here and kind of prove his value and either be traded or stay here for a long time.
I believe he signed a three-year deal too, right?
Yeah, he signed an affordable deal.
If you know what, even
Artemis got control.
Even a guy like him, you bring him up maybe in 2 weeks if he has a productive July and gets hot. I'm sure you might be able to get something decent for him in return if you want to trade him. David Artemis does have good stuff. I think he actually has some potential of being a reliever, of being a quality reliever. But once again, the same for him might be, you could say, for a guy like Andrew Sisco, who, yeah, he's got the stuff, he's got the ability, but he just doesn't have the head on to actually ever put it together on the field.
Yeah, but I think next year what you do is you pick up some crafty veterans. You have these got young guys, and you have these current guys, and you throw that together. And you see what sticks.
Now, there's obviously a few pieces you could use for the bullpen, maybe for the rotation. But overall, when you look at all these trades they're making, is there anybody in the Sox system right now? I'm talking about guys like Owens, Sweeney, Fields, who should be given a chance to grab a starting spot next year. Anyone, even a guy like Josh Fields.
There's only two. Position player wise, it's Josh Fields and Ryan Sweeney. Now, we saw Sweeney. I'm not sure if he's ready, but at one point, whenever this team does give up or give in and goes young, Ryan Sweeney should get at bats for the rest of the season. And then maybe he's one spot guy you can just pretty much put in for next year. Because Brian Anderson, I have it pretty much on record. You can use this as fact. You can use it. I have quite a few people that have told me this from inside the organization, but he's pretty much requested a trade. He will not be back in the system. He will not be back in the Sox organization next year and probably won't make it past July.
He might be a nice toss-in one of these trades too.
Yeah, he could be the type of guy you deal to get something. Maybe you put together a monster deal, you do a lot of selling, and then you go find a way to give up some of your in-house resources to get Miguel Cabrera. Maybe you do that and pencil in next year for the next 5 years.
Hmm.
I'm not saying they have the tools to get him.
You could have an outfield of Miguel Cabrera, Melky Cabrera, and Ryan Sweeney next year.
Wouldn't it be bad?
That would work.
Definitely be young. Definitely be exciting. And the key is, if you can somehow, you know, keep a pitcher or get another pitcher, I would like to see them keep John Garland, Mark Burley, and Javier Vasquez. So three veterans
and
plus Danks.
Yes.
And then you see who Gavin Floyd, Gio Gonzalez, and whatever in-house youngster can take over. Maybe a Chad Billingsley and a Jermaine Dye type of move.
Yeah. Now, I've seen a little bit of Josh Fields, and I've kind of been so-so on him. He obviously has a lot of ability, but it seems like he's got that long swing. There's been some fastballs put right out over the heart of the plate that he has just been laid on and just blown away on. when you look at him in the third base situation with Joe Creedy, you can't trade Joe Creedy, obviously, this offseason because he has a bat problem. Is Fields even a trade bait possibility at this point, or is he just someone you're going to have to wait? Maybe you have him on the bench next year as a backup third baseman slash outfielder, maybe even first baseman, whatever. You let Creedy play, and then you put Fields in after, or is Fields trade bait?
Well, Fields obviously has a lot of trade value. However, I don't think he's trade bait because he is Joe Creedy's replacement. Joe Creedy will play for the Sox again. He'll probably show that he's healthy, and then the Sox will move him, probably early on.
Here's the thing, at that time,
Josh Fields will probably play a little bit of outfield. He'll play a little bit of third base. Maybe he'll DH on occasion, but he'll get his at-bats.
But, see, here's the thing. Do you think there was any possibility that Joe Creedy, had he have stayed healthy, would have been traded this year? Because the way I look at it, obviously if the Sox were going good, they were going good. But I could have almost seen it a situation where if Creedy was staying healthy, and obviously he's not wasn't producing, but if he's somewhat staying healthy and the Sox are nowhere out of it, I would have seen them trading him now, getting Fields at bats, and then Fields is your starting third baseman next year. But now with him set to return this year, next year, because he has no value at all, I wonder how much longer they're going to have to wait for Fields. So I'm assuming they would have to trade Creedy pretty early next year. Because if Fields is in your plan, you figure that he would have to get some playing time pretty early next year. And not just
He'll be starting next year, but he can get his at-bats in the outfield too, because you know there's going to be outfield spots open. There's going to be spots for at-bats to go around. Mm-hmm. And I do think they probably would have considered keeping Joe Creedy if he was still productive, because they could have made other moves. They could have lost a guy like Dye and then given Creedy some of that money. They could have definitely done some things, but that's not going to be the case anymore. I just don't think so. They're pretty high on Josh Fields. He's definitely made a lot of strides, and I think he's going to be a pretty solid major league player. And this is coming from someone that really wasn't behind Josh Fields until relatively recently.
I see. From what I'm seeing, is his swing looks like he needs some work. It seems like he's got that long, typical AAA swing.
The best thing I can say is just give him a chance to sit in, get at bats, and get
that
adjusted, because he's no Brian Anderson at the plate.
No. I mean, he looks like he has his head on straight much more than a Brian Anderson. Brian Anderson went up to the plate, and you knew he has all the skills in the world, a lot of the tools, but you just looked at him, and you're just not really sure if he knew what he was doing. Josh Fields looks like he has a better idea, but I think that swing will have to be cut down a little bit, and maybe it's just a matter of time. But I think he was swinging the bat pretty good in AAA, and then he comes up to the major league level and struggles a little bit, so I don't know if it was just nerves or a matter of maybe he's just simply overmatched at this point. Obviously, time will tell in that case.
Plus, we're going to have a good idea on that because he's going to be playing every day.
Oh, yeah, for the rest of the season. And that's going to be one of the nice things to see. But hopefully, you know what, if they make some trades and they get some young guys in, because really, Josh Fields alone is not going to make me watch the baseball. It's not going to make me watch the Sox. Josh Fields alone will not make me do that. But if they can maybe trade a couple of these other guys and get some young guys in return, then I'll watch it, because I will not mind watching a White Sox team where you had a young guy in right field, a young guy at second base, a young guy at third base, a young guy at left field. I went on my watching that team, because at that point, you don't care about wins. You're looking at the development of these guys, and as long as they're putting some energy and some effort and some heart into the field, that's really all you could ask for at this point, because this team is sluggish.
Yeah, and we're not saying that you do this and don't win. There's still a chance that you make some early moves on a die trade, and maybe things pick up. Probably not going to happen, but it could happen. And more importantly, you're making these moves so you're going to be in position next year to have that youth and then go out and sign maybe a couple of more veterans that maybe are in their prime, mm-hmm, to go with Paul Konerko in the middle of that lineup. Mm-hmm. And you have that rotation. And hopefully you think long and hard about re-signing a guy like John Garland or extending a guy like Garland, who's been the best pitcher in the Sox this season. And hopefully you try to give Mark Burley that extension or sign Mark Burley. I got it all backwards here.
Well,
but that should be what the Sox do.
I think the next month is going to be very, very, very key. And I said I do not want to see Kenny Williams wait till the end of July and then start trading guys off or even keep guys and look to simply gain people in the draft, because their drafts have not gone too well. And even if they have, the drafts for the most part are crapshoots like bullpens. So you don't want to take that chance. If you can get a guy at the AAA level who could produce, you got to make those trades. And hopefully Kenny Williams does just that. We haven't mentioned even Ozzie Guillen at all. in this case, and I think we both agree that he doesn't really deserve much fault. Maybe he could have a little bit more fire. Maybe he could be a little bit more creative and aggressive in maybe creating the lineup and trying to stir things up. But for the most part, there's nothing he could have done this year, right?
No way. I think early on in the season, before some of the injuries piled up, before this team just got so bad, before the bullpen was just so helpless, he was having his best managerial career in a season of his career. So I really can't put much blame on a guy like Guillen, especially when you look at the fact that he's really been handcuffed. This is not an Ozzie Guillen type of offense.
No.
And so you can't put any blame on that. Maybe you could say that, you know, a couple things he's done wrong, but every manager's going to do a couple things wrong. This bullpen was atrocious. I don't give a shit. Some people say he could have made different moves.
There's nothing
tell you,
he could have
whoever
done.
He put in is bad. That was pretty much it. Unless your name is Bobby Jenks, whatever you put in was bad. I mean, can you really deny that?
Oh, no, you can't. The only thing you could have said to him as far as winning games is keep the starters in longer or get Bobby Jenks in the eighth inning. Either way, it was going to lead to injuries. So, no, you can't get on the manager for not putting a guy in a situation where he's going to get hurt long, down the road. This bullpen was atrocious, and he has absolutely no fault. Next year, though, I think it's even key if you plan on having Ozzie Guillen as your manager for years to come. It all goes back to making those trades. Make sure that you're competitive and that you're back near the top next year, because if they just make trades for young guys, I don't think Ozzie Guillen is the guy there. So if Kenny Williams has any plans on really starting young and going young, which I don't think is a possibility, and I don't think it's even entered his mind, but if he does have any thought of making this team young and developing, Ozzie Guillen is definitely going to have to be one guy you might have to consider replacing at some point over the next year or two, without question.
Yeah, it's probably a consideration, but it's also a consideration that Ken Williams may be the guy you have to replace. Is Ken Williams the type of GM to do that? Is he willing to do it? Because I think my greatest fear right now is the fact that Ken Williams may say, hey, somehow we can save this thing. Mm-hmm. And we end up really getting screwed and not being able to rebuild. And instead, we're going to fail with a mediocre season this year. And we're not going to get anything in return. And we're going to be terrible for the next 3 or 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Because the key is going to be to capitalize on this now. Get yourselves in position to where you can make some vast ideas, get to see the development of some of your own young players now, and then figure out which positions do we need to add veterans, who do we need to trade to get in here, mm-hmm. what do we need to do different so we can compete next year. Not 2 years from near next year. And get a guy like, find a way to convince a guy like Ichiro to come in here, because that's going to help you at the top of the order. It's going to give you a veteran presence, and it's going to give you someone that sells tickets, because you got to be careful about the fan perspective of this. Mm-hmm. You can't sell this off as a total like white flag type deal.
No.
You got to sell this off as, we've kind of seen what happened, injuries have really come out, whatever you have to do to sell it.
We're fixing it.
You got to find
a way.
We're
fixing
it.
We're fixing it for next year. And it doesn't necessarily mean the Sox have to go out there and spend a crap load of money this offseason and put together a team full of all-stars. Just put together a competitive team next year, a young team, an exciting team, and then you know what? Especially if you have Kenny Williams as your GM, come June, come July next year, if the Sox are in it, you know he's going to make trades. You know he's going to make that big trade to get the guy in. So you know what? Next year, you don't have to have 5 starters. You could have 4 starters. You could have 1 spot on a position player standpoint where you maybe could replace. You could maybe have a reliever that you may need. But have a nice core on this team. And then come next year, June, July, if they're in it, which they should be if all the right moves are made and if these players obviously develop, you could make these trades and get some big guy, whether it's a big starter, whether it's a big reliever, position player, whatever the case may be. So it's not necessarily about just getting all-stars. Put together a young, competitive, athletic team for next year.
I have absolutely no doubt about that, and I think this is going to call it a show.
Yep.
It was pretty much a hot stove type edition, what we think should happen. I don't know if it will happen. That's my greatest fear, that it won't happen, but I want to send it off on this. There's not going to be any advertisements to this show. This is a show. This is how serious we are.
No Fox?
About what the Sox need to do. No
advertisements. No
Fox,
advertisements
nothing.
For Fox. So the listeners should not be watching Fox at any
exactly.
time. Okay.
But I want to do a little send out on this. I'm going to list you some numbers. 2.59, 4.0. That's 2 relievers. Every other reliever that's pitched for the Sox this season.
Over 6.
That's 9 guys. 9 guys with ERAs over 6. That pretty much sums up things. That's how bad it's been.
And 220. That's pretty much where everybody's been batting, minus Jim Tomei.
Yeah, and an on-base, a team on-base under 300. Team on-base under 300, 8 relievers to pitch for you that have an ERA over 6. Only 2 have an ERA of 4 or under.
You
sum things up.
And you feel bad for the starting pitchers. You feel bad for them. Hopefully things change, though. Hopefully we can start getting to hear shows regularly, which is probably not going to happen. But if we try, maybe we can make it happen. But hopefully 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, we could see four or five guys, whether on this major league roster or in the minor leagues, who we could look forward to in the future. Hopefully. We could just...
Talent. That's all I want to see. Talent.
Athleticism.
Yeah.
Hustle. Energy. Bring some of that to the table. Not just grittiness. Forget even the grittiness part. Just bring guys who are athletic, who have some ability, who have some speed to them. That's it.
Do it, Kenny. Do it. We're out. We'll be back on. I'm going to have a draft edition sometime in the next week with Dan Santaramita, so look forward to that. And hopefully we'll be back, Mario and I, analyzing some trades that actually happened by the Sox. Mm-hmm. So we'll see you guys next week.